You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Also, I looked at the notes. We're a bit more than freeballing. We've got some people. We've got some topics.
We can just talk about our bracket the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Mine's fucked.
Go through our five rankings, and I can tell you about all the games I've watched.
Well, I'm going to ask you to bring up the rankings later.
We can talk about Wesley's bracket specifically.
Wesley, how many do you have? You've got to have – I have 10 of 16.
I'm not sure.
Wow.
Did you open the door, Steve? Did you open the door?
Yes, I let everybody in. We're live. We're live to 19 wonderful folks here.
Sorry for the delay, but technical difficulties, everybody. Thank you for being patient.
This is the show now, right? Are we doing the show yet?
This is for the live folk. The people are watching us live hanging out.
But we can all fuck off, and you guys can talk about this live. And
well, I guess three mugs wouldn't be on the screen if we were on.
It'll get clicks.
Why can't we just fucking leave this as it is and then... Cut off of this into the like a cold open, and then go into the show.
The following podcast contains mature language and adult discussions.
I don't get how my max score could possibly be one higher than you. I'm 149 and you're 148, but you're in first with 44 points.
Because you probably have somebody that's coming out of the East that's still alive.
Right. Kevin would have one less option, one less possibility with somebody who he got.
Marquette's out for me, which means I lose the East, but...
That's what fucked me.
In the world, I don't think that anybody had, the prop. Nobody's going to have. It's like the Princeton game. Nobody's got Princeton.
No.
So, you're fucked.
Oh, my bracket is disgusting. It's even worse than those rankings because my possible is like 90-something.
Yeah, but you're dead if...
Your final's like, dead.
If you lose a final team first game, that means you don't pick up any. If Purdue would have gotten beaten by, let's say,
second or third round,
Michigan State to go to the Elite Eight, you would have got all those points that they would have racked up.
But for them to lose to FDU here.
I mean, everybody had Arizona over Princeton.
Right.
Nobody had that fucking game.
No, I didn't.
Nope.
I don't give a fuck.
I had Arizona going to the Final Four.
The chancellor of Princeton had Arizona.
So, if it's between
I have Bama beaten Texas, but in retrospect, after watching the tournaments, I would have chosen Connecticut against Alabama. Connecticut.
That's who I have in my college buddy.
I think Connecticut can win the whole thing.
I think
if I had to pick somebody right now, I'd pick Connecticut.
There's my East.
Because they got that bull inside, and they got that 7'2" freshman that comes in for them. And I kick and play.
If UCL makes it to the final, I win our bracket.
If UC Patino's going
if
to
UCLA
St. John,
doesn't.
They're going to have a hard time. Gonzaga always goes just far enough, but
and then
not.
They fuck you.
Yeah.
But they ain't. Gonzaga might get by UCLA, but they ain't getting by. They're not getting by Connecticut.
So what's the difference maker in me and Kev's brackets? Like, what one game do I need to pay attention to? Because I haven't watched any yet.
Where's yours at? Let me see. Let me just look at your bracket.
Got it up now.
Boy, they give you a lot of available screen space to look at your fucking bracket.
Right?
What
is
this
shit?
There we go.
Okay, so
he's got Bama, Purdue, Houston, UConn.
And you, like, I have the same as you do. If Bama doesn't come in, you're the same as I am. You don't have a finals. I think that you've got two ones left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why you've got more points.
Yeah.
You have two one seeds.
So UConn Gonzaga is probably what you should be looking
That's
for.
That's what I had too. UConn Gonzaga. Not that it makes a fucking.
Because if UConn Gonzaga and then Houston Texas. Hmm. If this 1-4 can hold for you, you'll probably win our whole thing. That's what you're looking for. Whereas I would
feel really bad taking y'all's money with this shit.
Does the
spend it on a fucking a sports book on a game that you know nothing about.
Exactly. Actually,
have they fired the wholesale butcher that happened to walk onto the court and coach Purdue this tournament, or does he still have a job?
I saw him like 2 days ago at Baskin Robbins.
Yeah, exactly.
What flavor did he get?
Behind the no, he was behind the counter.
Oh, okay.
I just got mine in a cup. I don't prefer really, teeth on one of those cones.
David says he has an NWO tapestry made up at his local print shop. I want to see that.
Nice.
Oh, shit.
So, is there a way he can tweet that at us or email one of us or something?
He could tweet us, or he could, you could email it too. You could do.
Send us that shit. We'll throw it up.
Here, I'll put my email
up
there.
I tell you.
We don't want to wait on a Zoom.
Tennessee beat the shit out of some people physically.
Right?
That Duke game, man, they look like I thought they were soft, and I said, maybe not.
9-1 on. I'll be in Vegas tomorrow, Kev. Do you want 9-1 on Connecticut?
I mean, nah.
Okay. Like,
yeah, Kev, I'll take 9-1 on Connecticut.
Now, did you pick against?
I could find 11. I don't know what the Vegas odds will be.
Yeah.
Kev, did you pick against Tennessee because you just didn't want to like?
No, we lost our point guard to an ACL tear right before the tournament, and they played like shit against Missouri. They had, I think they had 11 turnovers in the first half, and I just thought that they didn't have enough time. They had the talent, I just didn't think they had enough time to take somebody to run their offense, because that guy played so many minutes, and what they've ended up doing is taking that. I don't know. I can't pronounce his name, but for he's a white dude.
That one.
Yeah, I mean, he's the shorter of the four and two. There's a big 7'1", like Croatian or something, that plays for Plavic or some shit.
Huh.
I don't have time to fucking know these people's names anymore.
Did he paint that picture?
No, that's behind you. That's actually from the Ukraine. That's why there's so much blue, Ukraine blue and yellow in it. Yeah, I didn't want to say that I was ahead of the curve when I bought this.
Oh, okay.
Anybody watch Raw this week?
I heard about the promo at the end.
Bueller?
I watched the segment. I'm not watching WWE as much as I'm watching the Bloodline story.
I'm a Raw guy, so I've been watching that.
Kev's doing the homework. He's coming prepared.
No, I just think that it was actually kind of interesting that they made a match last night. Like they made a Mania match where Kevin. They had the storyline with Zayn and Kevin Owens. They became lovers on, I think, SmackDown.
The hug turned around the world.
They got back together, but Owen left in a Charger. That was a good choice of rentals. No, it is. I mean, those things are important. You don't want to leave out in a fucking Volt. But
right.
So they had, you know, they had their moment. They went, Sammy, Kevin, and all the Usos came out. Uh-oh. And the Usos said, yeah, we got the straps. And they caught them. They caught Owen and Zayn gazing at the WrestleMania Goes Hollywood up in the rafters. And the Usos' music just happened to hit right when they were just falling in love. And damn it. Had to turn around and deal with that situation. And lo and behold, by God, you know what? We just so happen to be the Unified Tag Champions, and we don't have a dance for WrestleMania, and you two just got together. What do you say we do this? One brother to the other. No, I don't think so. Whisper, you're on. Fucking money. This nice to fucking, you know, get another match.
Yeah.
There has to be foresight in order for that to happen.
I'm really surprised that they're not going with that for night one main event. Like, I don't know what other match they think is going to have a bigger.
I just know that I, as a worker, wouldn't want to cover that. I wouldn't want to follow it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Rhea and Charlotte are going to be amazing, but there's just not a story there beyond We Love Rhea.
Like, everybody on this screen right now knows about the quarterback sneak play that we have in our arsenal. I'm just going to leave it at that. So
we're not going to surprise anybody?
No, I think everybody knows we have the quarterback sneak option. So I just think that the world needs to know who everybody is on the quarterback sneak option.
Coach Rosie wants to know if you know your WrestleCon times for next weekend.
WrestleCon, I go 9 to 2, and then I think there's a second one on Friday. Mm-hmm. Nine to two, and then maybe 5 to 8 or something like that. I don't know what the frick. And then the other two are just 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I'm going to be there on Tuesday. I'm flying in. Well, to San Diego, and then Wednesday. I'm there Wednesday through Sunday night, I think.
I get in Thursday at like 11 p.m.
Oh, sweet.
Just make sure you fucking just, I'm just Mr. Get There.
have a restaurant open somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Or room service.
I've never been to LA before, so it's gonna be. I'm pretty interested. My brother's going with me too. He's a character.
You know, a lot of times it's proved too much for the man.
took a second.
Going back to find a simpler place and time. I know you will. Hold that midnight train to Georgia.
Train to Georgia from LA to. That sounds terrible.
Oh my God.
That's like 6 days. That's terrible.
Not if you have like Roosevelt's body in the train with you. That's kind of cool. Yeah, this one time I had to go from Georgia to fucking LA on the train, but It's all right, man. President Roosevelt's body was like the next car up.
Here's a David's tapestry, by the way.
Nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh, yeah. Does Carole King at any time sing around that?
I like that.
Brian Haremza wants Nash karaoke.
You basically have it every week.
That should be one of our live events.
I'll kill some suspicious minds.
Dude, that was always my go-to Elvis.
Yeah. Well, I guess you see what you're doing to me.
Do you think I could? I think like one of those karaoke booths in like Koreatown hold like 25 or 30 people. Do you think I could get 30 people to pay $100?
Live show.
That be enough? No.
Yeah, no. For an hour.
Just Nash doing karaoke.
More than we're making a night.
So, me and my buddy Ben, he was playing pro football. We're in Birmingham together. And we're injured, so now we're mobile, and I'm on crutches. This is after I blew my quad out, and I'm mobile and get around on crutches. And we're going to different. And on Wednesdays, we find this bar that is karaoke bar. So we go up, just fucking around, and we sing Elvis together. And the people are like fucking. This is like serious. You know, this is like fucking American Loves Talent or one of them fucking bullshit. Yeah. Well, you can tell I watch those.
America Loves Talent.
Yeah. America loves people that are on the
America
screen.
Loves The Voice.
America loves Terry Crew. I know he's
America
on
loves
one
The Voice talent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you think you can dance, sing America. But
The Masked.
Yeah, the people fucking got shittiest. I mean, just super shitty. Like, no, this is a serious thing. The guy goes up there and hits, you know, mother. I said, sorry, Dio. Sorry, buddy.
Okay.
I thought this was a fucking, you know.
Yeah, some people take that
fun
very seriously.
Yeah, yeah. How about when people boo? What?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I have booed some local fucking, like, when those people, like, on a Wednesday show up at some restaurant you go to and there's an outdoor tiki bar, you know, and there's some guy out there, come Monday, it'll be all, I'm like, get the fuck out, you know. If you've seen Jimmy, all you've sang is Jimmy Buffett and fucking Bob Marley since I've been here, off tune, right. Like, I gave a guy $50 one time. I said, I'm going to be out here in a half hour. You just shut the fuck up. Like, I'll give you $50 not to play. Like, you know, my son was a musician. I mean, I was like, I'll give my kid $100. Have him go up there. At least it'll sound good. Fucking hell.
Just to play something more contemporary.
Exactly.
A fucking yacht rock.
When you go down to Florida, especially
a couple of those outdoor beachfront Flagler establishments.
Jesus Christ, if you don't hear a cheeseburger in paradise six times a day, I'm like, motherfucker. And every fucking guy there is overweight. He's got his sunglasses pulled up on the top of his head, but he's completely raccooned. He's so fucking burnt from here down. He's got the white fucking eyes. And for some reason, all these motherfuckers' T-shirts have a front pocket. I don't know where you get the T-shirt with the front pocket. These motherfuckers all have that small pocket in the front. Like, who? Is that like a prerequisite if you fucking live in Alabama? Or?
It's called the Flagler. It's the style. If you look in the catalog.
Some open mic nights in Pittsburgh are horrendous.
Do they have anything on the south side?
Yeah, I think they do. I don't go to the south side too often, but I would almost imagine they do. So I'm in
Is that where you get killed? The south side?
Yeah.
I dig the south side.
You're 9 feet tall.
But they
can dig the south side.
The south side, like, they have some like just a strip of bars and everything like that. So it's just like, if you're going out down there to party, it's a good time. But
they still got that like a blues bar down there.
Like, so
it's
they
kind
got
of a blues rock and roll. They have they usually on the weekends. It used to have live music.
They still have live music there, but there's they got rid of a lot of like the music bars and the college kind of bars. That there was like a big area that was called like Saddle Ridge was one, which was like a country bar, and they got rid of that. That happened.
I'm gonna name one. This is way before your time. It was called Catula's.
Catula's.
It was a small place, and the guy had a piano in there, and he had one hand, and the other hand was like some kind of either a hook or something. But he played piano and bartend, and it was like this. I think at some point David Lynch was going to use it in a scene, and he just forgot. And he just forgot, and they fucking just kept it running.
They left it.
I mean, it was like being on a movie set. You'd be like, what the fuck? You know, all of a sudden somebody'd come in with a fucking turban on. What the fuck?
A dwarf just walking backwards for context.
We have piano bars there, but like Murdoch's or something. It's called Charlie Murdoch's. That's what it's called.
And then somebody out there, hopefully, and one of our listeners will have been to Catula's.
Catula's. I'll have to ask some of my buddies about that have been in Pittsburgh longer than me.
God, it's been it's so long ago. I mean, Birdie's Steakhouse was there out on towards the airport. Yeah, Hyder's place.
Steve, how many views did we get the day you went crazy and dumped all those videos? Just that one day.
I think it was 76,000.
76,000 on one day.
Let me pull it up to be sure. We just had it up.
Did you just dump a ton of clips?
Yes. Well, because there were a bunch of clips because what I do is I make sure there's a short clip and a long clip and that they go out at the same time every day. But then we had a bit of a backlog of things ready to be scheduled to get put into the back of the line. And then there were a lot of clips like, is Alec Baldwin guilty?
Kevin Nash's unreleased songs.
They're like weren't going to play very well if I put them in the back of the line, because the back of the line is like July.
Right.
So I just dropped them all at once as I went through.
So
like,
in other words, what you're saying that our listeners got a bunch of shake.
You can still smoke it. You can still smoke it. It won't get us high. Make a pinner.
Sometimes like, you do that single bong hit, man, the pull-out bong hit. you know, you light it and you pull it out to fucking get the. That was my go to in college. I pull out the cafeteria tray, clean the seeds, grind a little on that fucker, do. And try to hold that motherfucker till I got out the back door of the fucking chalk dorm.
So it was 64,000.
64.
So, and then the day before, the day we released the episode was 39. So every now and again, I think we should dump on them.
Take a big dump.
So are the people that are subscribed and get notifications, do they just get fucking blasted with an individual email for everyone?
You know what's
those?
Funny? I want to say something about this.
But
I was going over some of the data and I was sending Kevin some like videos of the screen. And do you know the ratio of unsubscribed to subscribed?
Yeah.
Of like the millions of views we have. Is 50? It was 51.49.
That's really good, actually. Most channels are around 30.90 or
really? 30.60. Really? So only 36% on an average channel.
Of, so here we are. We're 51.48.
So I was looking at that like, oh man, we have to push the subscribe button more. But you're saying that's good.
So I'm gonna pull up a different channel, but
bring up somebody else's channel. Let's guess who it is. Come on.
Delete the shit as soon as we're done recording.
I'm gonna punch in on a different channel in a way where anyone watching this won't know
what
channel.
But you have
channel.
To do,
oh, what
you have
fun
to do
is
an
that?
Impression of the host.
Steve, what do you have left to lose, Steve? Put up the fucking...
a lot.
I'll have nothing to do with this.
You put it up and then we'll do impressions of the host.
So, all
right. I like that picture you sent me, Sean.
Not going to tell you who, but 4257.
Oh, okay.
It's not bad, though.
That's still pretty good. Like,
yeah. We only beat that by 6% of subscribed.
And that's in the last 28 days as well, for whatever that's worth.
Right, right.
I've been told I need to stay closer to my microphone.
Did you see that? It was like fucking... Yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
So... Once again, not going to say which channel this is, but 6237. Okay. That the general, about only a third are subscribed is the general rule. That we're way above it. But all right. You're right. Well, let's get more fucking subscribers. Okay, let's get the gold one.
That's pretty sweet, though.
What's the gold one? How many do you have to have?
1 million.
Fuck.
I know, right?
I can spray paint this.
That second fucking hurdle on the fucking steeplechase is a little steep.
Yeah. We couldn't go 100 to 500 to a million, like three grades.
God. A half a million to anything.
What do we do on the rankings with the podcast?
Oh, it's
7, I think we're at.
We were at 7. We opened at 7. Jumped 3 to 7 today.
I don't understand these things. The little green arrow says went up 3, but we were 7 days.
We jumped 7 to 7. Or jumped 3 to... Started in 7th, and then jumped 3 to 7th.
So,
well, this makes more sense. No change, right? So rank number 7, no change.
Yeah. Number 7, no change, but that probably might have happened yesterday. We jumped 79 in Canada. Sports.
What did I talk about?
Did you mention Tim Hortons or what?
I think I might have talked about the original six Canadian.
Look at the number one sports podcast.
Spittin' Chicklets. That's hockey, I guess, right?
That is hockey, yes.
Sports.
Wow.
Let me see if it said Pardon Me is a that's syndicated on ESPN. Yeah.
F1. They love F1 in Canada.
Where's McAfee show at?
They
probably maybe not Canada.
Let's see how they.
They don't allow it there.
Where are we?
22nd.
Oh, 22.
And then dropped 79 spots to what?
Dude, Boot Hockey's sounds like it's a T-shirt, just based off of one dude's misspelling. I think he purposely misspelled it to lead off the trail that he's like it's in his favorite tabs.
Did we beat Dan Don Cherry?
Like, I don't watch enough videos to know how to spell it.
So what number were we? 70-something?
We jumped 79 spaces to be 117.
Oh, to 117.
So I had the top 100 up. But still 79 spaces on a chart at all. Something happened.
Yeah.
Another 117 and we're
number one.
Free, baby.
Next week's episode, Bret Hart.
Toronto live show.
I always like when they had the numbers from India. You're like the 2,130, like, but then you do the math against the 3 billion people. You're like, oh, fuck, we're
that's not bad.
that's like stuck at seven.
That's like when you hear about how well, I think it was Downton Abbey, a show in Britain, did for a while. Oh, that show had, like, I think they were saying like 6 or 7 million views. And as an American, I'm like, that wasn't a whole lot. And then you had to Google how many people actually live in the Great Britain. So it's like, that's half of all households. That's way too many.
Oh, yeah.
That's way too many.
My wife would watch all of those. Like, I just want to meet the dude that, like, DVRs that shit. I want to drive across country with that motherfucker. Because every fucking 15 minutes, I'm just going to look up, because I'm not giving the wheel up to that. No way. And I'm going to look over to my right and go, really? DVR'd the motherfucker.
Did you ever fuck with the crown, Kev?
I mean, I shit in Jerry's crown one time, but I mean, nobody can prove that. No, I never fucked with the king's crown, but I know it got shit in. I always liked Jerry. So. Thought he threw a good punch.
did you finish your honor? I don't know if we may not be able to talk spoilers, but you saw the finale.
I mean, it was kind of like
I didn't.
Last of Us. I was kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
I'm not
saying anything, Sean.
Was it just a season finale or was it a series finale?
They're saying it's a series finale, but the entire season one, they said there wasn't going to be a season two, and then there was a season two. So who the fuck knows?
I mean, they could very easily. I mean, it ends with her on his doorstep.
Wow.
I didn't say who or what doorstep.
He's fucking with you guys. It's.
Yeah. What's the one? What if? Have you guys seen that on Netflix?
Is that the Marvel stuff?
There's
no
a different...
it's yeah, I saw that because I had to look it up, but it's Renee Zellweger.
Oh,
she does kind of an indecent proposal to give the she funds this young girl's some kind of a biotech thing that she's working on that would have saved her twin sister. That had a disease, and she was. It's kind of a. It's all right.
Yeah, I like Renee Zellweger.
But you know the thing was is in order for her to fund it, the husband had to bang Renee Zellweger, and then he went. Then she put the.
It's like a punishment.
Like, well, I don't know. Was Zellweger's not bad?
I liked her in Me, Myself, and Irene.
I liked her in 20. Colt. I liked her. I liked her in Cold Mountain. Hey, when you're 64, man, the shit that you're allowed to fucking keep that lands on your boat, it'll come and measure it. Ah, you got to throw that one back in, big man. Way to go, buddy. She's got a pulse.
Now, but even in her prime, she always just had that, like, she just had a Sour Patch Kid in her mouth or something. Like, she just always
a bit of
weird...
a fish face thing.
Yeah, but if you throw, if you actually throw your hog down any broad's throat, don't they all look the same?
It's another t-shirt. Well,
right?
Yeah. We're gonna find out who the women
are.
Depends
on the mustache.
We're gonna find out who our ad-free shows fans are that are women, because they're gonna leave. What?
Or confirm.
I just made an absolute valid point. I've never seen anybody like, you know... It doesn't. I've never looked down and saw my hose in somebody's mouth and thought, "Is she holding a rose in her teeth?" Like it's pretty much what it is. Fuck, It's like eating spaghetti. Fuck, you're eating spaghetti, man. Slurp that shit.
So is this the show? Are we going with the show? Is this because
we're going.
About 8 minutes left. I just get some stuff in real quick.
Let's go to the open graphics and we'll come back.
You know we could do.
This is what you get. We got to give them something. Because you know, just for the sake of fucking conversation, say we weren't doing this and we were doing something different. This would be something we would do that would be completely different from our other show. So
let's ask our live audience: do you think that this should be the open? Should we go right in, go in raw?
I don't see anybody. I don't see anybody's. I don't see their comments. Does anybody see their comments?
Yeah, we got it.
This is pure premium shit right now. I just saw Josh say that. See, oh, yeah.
I love coming here to get educated. If not, I've got membership.
Yeah, so that's the argument, is that this is premium for the folks that are top guys. So if we give it out on Mondays for free and they're getting to see like three extra beautiful faces, then, you know. What are the top guys paying for?
I understand that, but I mean, just say that like we actually came up with a concept where you had to pay extra to see this.
Right there, Zoil just said what you said.
Yeah,
people are going to say, "I got to be part of this next time."
Yeah, you guys can. And I mean, it might cost you $11 a month, but hey, we can do that.
Soft. Darren loves Bukkake. How about this, Steve? You have the opening. Just run the opening.
All right.
And go right into where we are. We don't have to run it now. Just put it in post.
Okay.
It's not going to have the same flow, Sean. It's not going to feel the right. It's good. We're going to come in. It's going to throw the whole thing off. We won't have our vibe or our rip from our open. You're so fucking production orientated. I, in the other words, am a fucking entertainer. I need my prompt.
All right, relax there, Sammy Davis.
No, I was Lily Tomlin.
Oh, you fucking cunt! Possessed by David O. Russell.
Yeah, what the?
Am I canceled yet?
No, close.
Show drops Monday.
So the last 34 minutes, you've been watching, click this, that's Kevin, I'm Sean, and this is the crew, and we're trying something new, we're trying to loosen the, you know, the vibe a little bit here.
This is our way of saying sorry about that Florida guy fucking jersey bracket.
It was loved. Did you read the comments that demand?
Pay that off.
There'll be more.
I actually did read that we lost a couple of hundred people, but that's okay.
So we're down to 7.
Nice. Fuck.
Slip 7 in the ratings.
Ugh.
So what are you doing? You're doing, what are you, in Richmond coming up?
Yeah. I'm in Richmond this weekend. I will be there.
Okay. Yeah, Kevin had a little bout with a little dysentery action.
I have a lot of other things going on in my life. One of them is I've got to take care of my wife, and my wife's going to Disney with her girlfriend, and then she's going to be out of the. I have a very hard time leaving my wife alone in the house, without my boy being there. So we're dealing with it, and everything looks good on paper until it's time to get on a plane and leave her. And sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes I get my. Last week I made myself sick. Made myself sick like Wednesday. I started making myself sick, knowing because she didn't want me to go, and I was just like, fuck. It really comes down to it. The world will not fucking stop if I don't make a town. But if something happens to my wife, I really don't want to fucking lose anybody else.
Oh, God forbid. But would she have any interest in going with you when you travel? Or
oh God, no. It's, you know, it's. I've always, you know, my wife would say, you know, I took her on the road a couple of times early. And, like from Atlanta, we drove and we made some towns. And I remember one time, I think, yeah, it was Steve. Steve was in his car, and we were in a...
the orange Jetta?
No, he was in... No, Steve Austin. And he was at his Honda. And we were in a... we had a Taurus SHO back then. And we followed each other, and we, you know, that we made like maybe a 2 or 3 day trip down in the panhandle. And Steve, we just got 2 bedroom places and crashed. But yeah.
Hmm. Well,
but that was it. She never. She went to they flew her to WrestleMania 12, Hartford. No, 11. They flew her to that, and my sister went, and I don't think either one of them dug it.
Hmm. I don't mean, I don't blame them. I just meant under the circumstances that. But, okay, so here she's going away anyway with a friend, so you'll be hitting Richmond.
I'll be hitting Richmond.
Comic-Con? What is the...
Yes, Richmond Comic-Con. I don't know if it has a name. I just know it's Richmond
you'll
Comic-Con.
Be, actually, by the time this airs, you'll be back. But for the folks with us live who are in the area, you can... This is a live show, by the way, for those of you listening. So we do have a live audience in the house.
But Mick's going to be there.
Oh, good.
Is that it? GalaxyCon? That's where I'm going, GalaxyCon. That's a good one. Yeah, you can tell. It's good cosplay.
Will you be dressed as a furry by any chance? Or
I'm going to go as a 6'10". 63-year-old prick. Mm. No, I'm looking forward to going. I've missed a couple of these, and so this I'm looking forward to getting out and seeing some people and saying hey.
Very good. So if you also would like to see Kevin and you're listening live with us, the live audience, you get that experience with the premium.
Kirk, Captain Kirk's there.
Fucking Shatner still, damn it. He can't enjoy this at that
I think me stage. And Mick are Mick's here. Pop through that pretty quick and let's see if we can find Mick. We'll be down this. We'll be on the same thing.
There he is. There,
is this wrestlers? Yeah. So it's Nasherino, Hangman, and Mick Foley for the gentleman.
Scott Steiner.
Scotty. Hardy. Matt. Britt Baker, the doctor.
Continues.
Anna Jay, Lex. Damn! Ron Simmons is there. And...
Oh, Leva.
Leva.
She hosted a show for us.
Let's see. I'm not familiar with any of these cats.
Well, there you go. There you go.
I'll get to see Mick. I would have gotten a chance to see Mick in. Fuck. What was the one where they canceled my flight? Louisiana. I was going to see Mick in Louisiana, so I'll see Mick.
So, for feedback from last week. Solinar Avon Roth says, RIP Scott Hall, when cable TV was at its prime in the mid-90s, you found a way to make it even better, if just for a few years. You kept me home in front of the TV and out of trouble as a struggling teen. For that, kudos. And a very similar, Christian Garcia sends a very similar sentiment. Hey, Kevin Ash, I want to thank you and Scott Hall for keeping me at home and entertaining me in the most rough years of my life. Where all my friends were in the street running around at 8 o'clock. I was tuned into Nitro, staying out of trouble, and staying safe. My God, how in the long run that saved my life. So not only were you entertaining, you were saving lives, Kevin. Keeping people from the clutches of gang life.
I hear that. I'm not saying that, I hear that every day, but you do hear that. You hear that a lot. Like, if a father-son will show up at one of these signings, and they'll say, we never really got along too much, but we always got along on Monday nights when we watched wrestling together. And things like that. And you think to yourself,
You want to get a lot from the old kayfabe fans is medical stuff, like oh, I was laid up with a kidney infection, you know, almost died, and you know, I watched your stuff, made me laugh. So that stuff always kind of gets me. Like, you know, when I'm sitting there making dick jokes with X-Pac on camera, I don't think that somebody's near fatal kidney infection will be that I'd be part of the of what saves that person. So the medical stuff is always kind of interesting,
yeah.
And it happens kind of frequently. When people,
yeah, we all get sick, you know.
Yeah, Chris Brackett, yes.
I was going to say that I stopped drinking for like, God, it was over 3 weeks, and like, you know, just my body just didn't react well to it. Mm. You know, just I had some digestive issues, and so I went to my both of my doctors, and they're like, "Well, we can do a CT scan, and maybe your bile." And I said, "You know what?" I said, "How about I drink an 8-ounce glass of wine?" I drank an 8-ounce glass of wine, get up the next morning, I'm like, I'm cool.
You're good?
Yeah, like, I'm cool. Like, easy. Like, they say the word, and I, once again, you can't just go cold turkey.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do it. Like, when it comes down to it, it would be the equivalent of the day after Thanksgiving actually taking the bird out of the refrigerator and not putting it in the microwave. Like, I can't eat that shit. Can you? It's dry as fuck. Don't eat cold. Yeah, don't go cold turkey on anything, including cold turkey.
Chris Brackett, Kevin Nash busting balls is the best part of the entire podcast. He's right about the tournament. Fuck you, Chris. He's not. Uber Tony, I love the podcast while I'm Ubering here in Bloomington, Indiana. As a driver, people get into listening to the podcast. It's a ritual to me. So you play this for people, unsuspecting people and their families, getting into an Uber. You treated to maybe a little Harry Chapin by Kevin.
Just make sure if I can, they don't have a rosary. Make sure there's not a rosary in their hand. They're probably going to, they might be, or maybe hand them one.
Yeah. So. Father Mulcahy, how do you like the talk about the taint? Rocket Money, this is an advertiser I can get behind. What a brilliant idea in this day and age where everything is subscription-based. There is no human alive that is not going to lose track of how many recurring subscriptions they're currently signed up for. This is the tool for you. Did you know 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about? Maybe it's like an unused Amazon Prime account or a Hulu account that just never gets used. You forget about it. Well, there's this great app I use that helps me track all of my expenses, and because of it, I no longer waste money on subscriptions that I don't use. Okay, you might have heard of it. It's called Rocket Money. Okay, now the app shows all of your subscriptions in one place. Okay, then it cancels whatever you don't want. You go right down the list. You're seeing an image of it right there. That's exactly what it looks like. Go right down the list. With one tap, you're canceling the subscriptions you don't want. They can even find subscriptions you didn't know you were paying for. All right. You might have even, you might be double paying for something. Maybe you signed up, your wife signed up, and you don't realize it. But you will now, thanks to Rocket Money. It's like an X-ray into your recurring charges and your finances. So take a look at what's going on in there and straighten out what you don't like. To cancel a subscription, you just have to press the cancel button and it's done. Rocket Money literally takes care of the whole process for you. So get rid of those useless subscriptions with Rocket Money now. Go to rocketmoney.com/Nash. Seriously, it could save you like hundreds a year. That's rocketmoney.com/Nash. Cancel your unnecessary subscriptions right now. Thank you, Rocket Money. Cow Palace Drive says, great podcast. If a movie is ever made, my vote is Ben Robeson from Animal Kingdom to play Kevin. I'm going to need a visual, guys, of this here.
He's the taller of the brothers. The taller of the brothers. They're all Australian. There he is.
Okay. Yeah, all right, that works. Everyone listening probably knows what he looks like already.
Yeah.
That's how I know that I'm spiraling toward the grave. I lose touch with popular culture, which I swore would never happen. And that was always my barometer of a cool guy who's like in his 50s or 60s. Like when I was a teenager, like 20 or something, if they could talk about Nirvana or Guns N' Roses or like, I didn't see the person's age because that was just the number. I was still able to relate. Now I don't think nobody who's 16 can fucking relate to me now. I guarantee you that. Other than like my immaturity and my, you know, my bad jokes and stuff, but like I don't think I'd be able to hold that.
But there are some things that, I mean, like my son, I call it screamo music, you know, where you just, and I think that, you know, I'll catch myself listening to like an easy listening station if I'm taking a longer drive, and it's like, you know, like a song like Orleans, like Dance With Me. You're like, you're singing along. You're like, how do I fucking know every word to every song? Because that was an era that the music was so lyrically driven. I think that's why I enjoy rap music so much is because it's lyrically driven. And if I can
bars, motherfucker.
Yeah, and if I can actually understand, you know, some people they rap and it's might as well be screamo. But other people, man, when they rap and it's just like, I like lyrics. Period. That's what I mean. All I need is, you know, you can strum a little Gordon Lightfoot in the background. I'm fucking good.
The Wreck of the Edmund. Yeah, I'll give you a little.
Yeah. I always liked when he said, 4 o'clock the maiden hatchway gave in. They said, fellas, it's been good to know ya. Yeah. Oh, thanks.
NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. Woo!
As an adult, don't we all miss spring break? Nothing like taking a week off from all your responsibilities. Well, here's the next best thing for adults, a spring break from house payments. SaveWithConrad.com can help you get rid of all your credit card debt just like that. We're routinely helping our listeners save $500, $600, $700, even $800 a month. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this, but check this out, no house payments for 2 months at SaveWithConrad.com.
The modern day Winston Churchill says, greetings, gents. I've been watching since day one. Kev is so on point with travel. Airlines are so full of shit. There should be an MTV show for airlines called To Catch Some Flying Bullshit.
I actually saw his comment, and this is on my son's soul, this happened. This was back when cell phones now are starting to become, you know, it's the leather in a leather pouch Nokia with the flip phone and the antenna. But I mean, you know, it's a semi brick, but it's, you know, everybody has one of these fuckers. And your AT&T bill on the road's like $1,300 a month. I'm not kidding you, man. Your bill is so high. So I go behind where the counter is, and in the old days there would be phones back there. If you remember, like a lot of times the phones would be behind, like where if it said like going to Denver and it had the board on the other side of that motherfucker would be a payphone.
Okay,
because it was quiet. And so I went back there to use my phone, and I hear the one girl go to the other one. So, we don't have two flight stewards. So, we don't have two of our flight attendants. Let's just tell them it's a mechanical. And she says, I don't have a problem with that. She goes, let's just say it's mechanical because they're going to be here. But that way they won't be mad at us. And I walked around. I said, yeah, but I'm telling everybody that it's because we don't have two flight attendants. They looked at me like, but just the fact that like they were so caught lying.
It must be
how Tucker Carlson feels every day. He looks in the mirror like this. Da 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 da. Oh, fuck. I slept good. Oh, shit. They got me. So.
Damn texts. Dr. Quarek says the Bobby Knight thing always confuses me because we hear the talk
about how all big-time athletes are alpha personalities and do not take shit from anybody. Yet, as Kevin points out here indirectly, every player on that sociopath's team just took his relentless abuse like a scared child. Pathetic. Well, what fucking choice do you have? You get signed to IU.
I knew that fucking guy was a dick the minute he walked in my house. Now, how do you not know the guy's a dick? I wouldn't sign to go anywhere before. Like, put your name and going in the Army. That's what the stupidest fucking thing on earth, because you never see anybody that's, you know, life depends on them recruiting you. They're as nice as can be to you. You get off that bus, wherever your fucking basic training is, the motherfucker's screaming at you. But I already went through all that shit, man. Like, they were screaming at me. I'm just like, shut the fuck up. Like, it didn't bother me.
You're talking about, like, boot camp?
Yeah, they'd scream and get, you know, and my whole thing is, you can't get in my face.
Can't reach.
Right, you can't get in my face. You can get in my chest.
You sack.
Whew, telling you, I talked to the lady from the stem cell place, and I said, "Is there any way I can get my sack done down there? When I get them stem cells?" She said, "Why would you possibly want your sack to receive stem cells?" I said, "Aesthetic, just, you know, prettier sack."
I wonder what it would do if, you know, what some stem cells would do down there, but. Put that injection in there. We'll see. Maybe we can
turn that 11 soft into a 12 hard. At least. Jesus. Call that bitch the Gordie Howe Bridge.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
You know, Andy Kaufman is going into the Hall of Fame. That was an announcement this week.
Yep.
In their celebrity category. And I was pondering this afternoon, and I reached out to an authority in this business who might know some things, a prominent writer. And I didn't get an answer exactly, just kind of his opinion. But I think that because the talent, and I talked to Kevin about this too, and he pointed something out, and I'll let him point it out live on mic. I thought that your induction was contingent on the signing of either a Legends contract. Now I'm aware there's another kind of contract somebody was telling me about, which isn't exactly a Legends. It's like a special services type contract, which maybe it's not around anymore, but it was at one time in the last few years. But
there's still guys on that contract.
Okay. But signing something, giving them something, and then in turn you get your, because you got to be on the show and, you know, they have to be able to sell the show and all that with no residuals and all that shit. Now, with the celebrities, there's no fucking way Mike Tyson or somebody of that ilk
is going to forfeit all that, unless there's just such a huge sizable payday, a couple million dollars or something, then they don't fucking care. But so there's got to be a different kind of agreement for talent.
It's just to go in. Yeah, I think that what it is they pay maybe $10,000 to go in.
But like not that, to Mike Tyson, right?
Well, I mean, to me, Mike Tyson's a fan. Mike Tyson already got his paydays at WrestleManias and all that shit. I just think that it's the honor of going into the Hall of Fame.
For a wrestler. But a boxer going into the wrestling, you think he cares?
Fuck yeah.
Think Pete Rose cared?
Fuck yes.
Because what if somebody said, I don't want to, I'm not going to be there. I don't want to do the show. You want to put me in.
Then he wouldn't have a graphic saying that he was their next inductee to the Hall of Fame.
Right. So they just would. So it's not really by merit. It's by merit for someone who wants to be part of the show.
Yeah. I mean, but it's.
Because why isn't Cyndi Lauper in? This is my whole point. She mustn't want to go there and be associated with that now.
Or maybe they haven't reached out.
I would bet that they have. She did more with Vince for that product at that time in the 80s than any of the celebrity inductees. There are worthy ones that were put in, but
that's a long day, that Hall of Fame. And yeah. Like somebody like her, I mean, like, girls just want to have fun.
Yeah, but time after time, you want to be paid for your efforts. You want to be recognized.
Like time after time, fucking, as he fucking sand pounds through the bottom of the hourglass, thus is the day called fucking Anzio / the Hall of Fame.
Well, you really see someone's true colors when you keep them there all day. Think that she was a huge, huge marquee name at a time when you didn't have cell phones and YouTube and all this shit to distract. You had some of the channels on TV, famous people on TV, famous people in the movies, famous people on the radio. That was it. Kardashians weren't running around. So Cyndi Lauper was like the equivalent of Taylor Swift today. And she agreed to go on fucking Piper's Pit and all that shit and just brought so many new eyeballs.
You know what? I will find out.
Wrestling.
I will find out because you're going on a tangent, okay?
This is what people pay for, our tangents.
No, I'll find out why because I'm curious now, so.
That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
You know, when I was shooting Roddy's timeline, that weekend, I had tickets the following night to Cyndi Lauper. It's bringing my daughter, my oldest daughter was like 10 at the time. It was her first concert. So I figured I'd break the ice with a Cyndi Lauper thing. And I was this close to saying, Roddy, you think we could hit the backstage door? She'd fucking open it for him, right? How could she not? I didn't, though. I didn't want to mark out. Nor did I think Roddy would in any way attend a concert with me. Nor should he.
What do we got here?
WME moves into the celebrity estate business. What am I looking at here, Steve, for God's sakes? Andy Kaufman, there he is. WME is the agency?
Well, yes, William Morris Endeavor, who yes, Vince okay. has very close ties to, and they're one of the potential buyers.
Okay, so that's Which so explains, what they're doing is they're buying the legacy of dead performers. So,
the estate business, through, yes.
Is that through Brian Wittenstein?
Let me read the article.
I know, Brian. What is he doing now?
Phil Sandhouse is who's going to be doing that.
I thought that Wittenstein was at William Morris.
New division run by Phil Sandhouse, a veteran estate manager and consultant to the late icons like Frank Sinatra, Buddy Holly, and Whitney Houston. But
you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy?
He went from pushing a pencil for Dixie Carter to being an agent at WME.
Phil Sandhouse? Are we talking
I'm
about
logging off.
Person?
What was I?
Holy fuck.
You didn't know that?
Text them.
All right.
Go ahead. Well, I'm sorry.
No, I was just I was saying that when they actually showed the picture of Andy Kaufman on Twitter that he was going in, like somebody, like, you know, did a tweet. And I said, that's not Andy Kaufman. In my mind, I was thinking Jim Carrey.
Who played.
And yeah, that's how convincing we talked about Carrey last week or last show. Right. That I actually looked at him when I went, no, fuck, man. He played, like. Then I went back and watched a bunch of the Andy Kaufman stuff. You know,
and what conclusion did you come to?
Well, the one thing that kills me is everybody is that's on these chats is like, well, I wish kayfabe was, yeah, motherfucker, and I wish I could sit in Santa's lap and really think I was getting shit. Everybody grows the fuck up, man. It's still kayfabe if you kayfabe in your house. How long do you, if you've got an older brother or sister, how long before the Santa fucking whole thing's done? The minute the oldest one finds out, that's
it. It's over. Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, you two fucking boobs. Fuck that. It's mom and dad. Like, come on. Let's rifle through the house when they go out and we'll fucking find all our gifts.
I was great at it. 2 hours.
Oh, my son was, you know, and the thing was, in our house, was the presents that mom and dad gave him were wrapped, and then the gifts that Santa left him were out. So if it was a bicycle and you had to put it together, that would be out. I put together an electronic drum kit 1 year. Motherfucker. I got to bed around 4. He was up at 5:30 wanting to see his presents. I was like,
What was the best present? Everyone remembers one, right? What was it?
Mine?
Yeah.
God, like something I really want. Oh, I wanted, it was a fucking robot. It was, what was his name? He was Yellow and Garuti, Tootie Robot, maybe, something like that. He fucking walked like a, you know, and then he had a bar in front of him and a bar behind him. And so when he hit the wall, he
turned around. Right?
Yeah, he went the other way.
Yeah.
And the thing was, is we used to take him in the backyard and put him on the back, like the alleyway, stoop, whatever you want to call it. I guess it was a porch. I don't know what the fuck. We'd shoot it with our BB guns. Like you were going to stop it with a BB gun, but the plastic couldn't. Every once in a while you'd hit it in a fucking place and take a little bit chink off it, but
the Intellivision was my big one when the video games first came out. Like
That didn't come out until I was in I was probably in high school.
Exactly, but I'm giving for my contemporaries here, I have to give them something less than the AARP version of the show. I got that fucking card in the mail. Let me tell you, the other day, I threw it right in the garbage. I can't deal with it. It's an admission of some kind. Maybe I can get discounted car insurance, people are telling me. It's worth it to do it just for the...
I get envelopes from the fucking Social Security every fucking 3 or 4 months, man.
Yeah.
They wanted me to take my shit. I'm like...
To take it now?
Yeah. You know, take it now so it's less. I'm like, it doesn't matter either way. It's just going to pay for it'll be my bar tab when I get older. That'll be my monthly bar tab.
You know, something that, I know 50 now. I thought it was like 65 already, but now it's apparently 50. So they just send me the fucking card in the mail now. I barely have a choice. But maybe I should investigate it for discounts, everyone tells me. Do I need a discount?
I've never used it.
No?
No, I've never used it.
Are you a member? Do you pay your $12 a year?
I don't know. I wouldn't know.
Clearly not, then.
I wouldn't know because I've never used it. You got to use it to get turned. I'm sorry, sir. We're going to have to turn you down. You've never paid.
You could take 100% of the ad money we get and just send it right over there, and you'd be covered annually. Yeah. Let me tell you an ad that
you know
I'm
what?
Always
I
excited th- about.
I, can we, before we go into this,
into Blue Chew? Go ahead.
I love Blue Chew. I was thinking maybe we could get paid by these fucking ad pricks that haven't paid us in Bitcoin. Since it doesn't fucking exist anyway, we could just say they owe us 65,000 in Bitcoin. That
we'd
way
be in no different position.
No different position because we're not seeing shit.
Oh, Blue Chew, though, has been with us and is exempt from prior commentary because they are a staple of the show, happily sponsoring Stiff Ones of the Week for the last 6 months. And, guys, you know what this service is, for God's sakes. Blue Chew is as ubiquitous as any other thing out there, and we were part of making that happen, I'm happy to say. If you're one of the very few people who don't know why Blue Chew should be part of your life, let me just tell you, it is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets and a fraction of the cost. You just take that little packet gimmick there, you pop it in discreetly, chew it, and you're ready to go. It's in your system, and should the opportunity arise, you're going to be in the game. You're going to be getting down and dirty, okay? You're going to sign up right now at BlueChew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you get the prescription within days. This process is a godsend, all right? It's done online entirely. No visits to a doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no pharmacy bullshit. You're going right online, it's being taken care of, bang, it's at your door. The prescription's written, it's at your door. In discreet packaging, might I add, okay? And there is nothing better than having this taken care of. You don't have to have a problem, just that little bit of assurance that when the time is right, bang, you're going to be ready to rock and roll, okay? And we've got a special deal, as we always do. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code NASH at checkout. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's Blue Chew. .com/NASH promo code NASH to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the Stiff One of the Week. This, Kevin, is our old friend RVD. And this is RVD on The Heartbreak Kid, a friend of yours who always seems to engender heat with people. But here it is, RVD on Shawn Michaels.
Name on the list, Shawn Michaels.
He's playing pick a hand, whether he would have had.
You'd be the only one that didn't want him to pick a hand, if that's the case.
Conflicting energy, yes. I don't remember any moments when, like, I was thinking of being more aggressive than thinking, wow, what a dick, you know. But after I, he dripped with insincerity, you know what I mean? Like when I, after I was gone for a while and I came back to the Royal Rumble, he was like, that's what I enjoy about these things is like, you get to see people that aren't normally here that come back, you know, and to let me know I'm not part of the family or whatever. You know, when I inducted Sheik into the Hall of Fame the next day, he was in the lunchroom and he was like, Rob, you were charming and funny and witty, you know, like what a backhanded compliment. It's like, dude, I know you think I'm retarded. That's why all my promos are cool and whatever. And that's the RVD that they know and still know. But so, I mean, I wouldn't say we were tight, you know, he could have taken some action that could have responded or warranted said hand pickage.
Right. But it just never happened. John Laurinaitis.
I'm always a fan of the of RVD's impressions every once in a while.
We may have to take the R word out of that.
Are we gonna be canceled? Are we gonna be canceled?
Might be. Yeah, he turned hard into that first cross eye.
Did you see?
Yeah, that was a little stiff. I gotta get heat with me.
Stiff one of the week.
You know what, though? By watching those kayfabe, you know, it's not even the same human being that lives on the planet right now.
Me or Rob?
Sean.
Oh, Sean. Oh, no, no. Yeah, no, no. This is about his time in WWE with him.
Yeah, but I think that when it's brought up sometimes, I think that there's a lot of people out there that maybe don't subscribe, that should subscribe. But
click the subscribe button if you're watching.
Yeah, do that. I think that's where I was going. And but I think that people think that that's who Sean is now, and it could be further from the truth. And you know, you could ask all that young talent that he's working with at NXT what you know his passion and
I'm sure and I'm sure they would speak.
No, I mean
but that's all we have to judge by. I mean, if I watch Rocky II. I'm going to speak about the Stallone I see on screen. I don't know what he looks like now, but I'm going to say, wow, he looked great in that. He may look differently now, but that's what we're gauging. That's what we're judging. Stallone circa 1982. HBK circa whatever year he would have been there with Rob, 2000?
2005.
Okay.
So 18 years ago.
Hey guys, need to call a quick timeout here. Wanted to tell your listeners what I've been telling my listeners over at OU Didn't Know for a while now about all the cool things happening over at AdsFreeShows.com.
A brand new series has arrived on AdFree Shows. Top of the Card unpacks everything you need to know in the wrestling trading card space. And we're starting with the granddaddy of them all, the 1982 Wrestling All-Stars Series A set.
Now, this set was not exclusive to any one territory at the time, as we were still right at the tail end of the territory era of professional wrestling. So it was basically a who's who in professional wrestling, with card number one being Andre the Giant. Others included in the set include Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Ted DiBiase, and others.
20 years ago, Eric took on Stone Cold in the main event on Raw. But the real main event was the confrontation that happened backstage before the show.
Now, the next week, I'm sitting in this chair, and that same guy, I don't think I had said a word to him that day. I don't think I had seen Rick up until the point he came through that door. And he's, you know, telling me to get up, get out of the chair. And he's so pissed off, he's bleeding. I'm on the phone, and he's got blood running down his chin because he bit his lip. He was so mad, he bit the inside of his mouth.
He's got blood on a backstage confrontation.
I hadn't even gotten out of the chair yet.
Ad-Free Shows members got to sit shotgun alongside Kevin Nash and Click This co-host Sean Oliver as they watch back some of the worst matches in history. None more so than the Yeti.
Randy, now
the mummy is not Frankenstein. You don't walk with your arms straight out.
With
like
the that. Arms out, right? And yeah. You know, a Yeti is also not a mummy. But I don't know. Was it Jim Herd? Who was here? Well, whose brainchild was this?
Who gives a fuck?
That's just a small taste of what we got waiting for you. With four levels to choose from, see for yourself why Ad-Free Shows is the best value in wrestling today. Sign up now at AdsFreeShows.com.
Listen, we've waited long enough, Kevin. It's time for round two of the Florida Man Jersey Guy March Madness Tournament. The March Madness Tournament.
Because I have to go piss.
We're going to put the shot clock up for you and everything this week.
I'll go take a piss.
You have to vote. This is impossible to do without you. You're leading, by the way, for anyone who wasn't watching the pre-segment, I don't know what the hell we'll call that happened before. Kevin is in the lead in the Click This Crew March Madness brackets. A whopping $500 on the line. And so therefore, clearly we need your influence here. Only four games, though, Kev. You'll be happy to know this week. Should we increase the shot clock then maybe to 20 seconds?
No, let's just fucking do it.
Okay. all right, so we're heading
But the graphics look great.
Thank you. We're heading into the Florida category here. The number one seed and the number five seed. The 18-minute face-eating incident and the guy who asked the cops to test the meth for its purity. How are we
just talking about pure Florida man, right? I mean, face eating can happen anywhere, but when it really comes down to it, if I think about it, asking the cops to test your meth is about as Florida man as you can be. So, what do you guys say?
So, okay, so Kev's going with the number 5 seed, the meth.
It's been that kind of a bracket across the country. I mean, is asking the cops to test your meth Princeton?
Right. Is that our Princeton?
Is it? I mean.
David voting from our live audience that the meth is, and that's clearly the tiebreak. I would have gone with 5 also, and I see Dominic and Wesley were 1.
Jeremy,
so it was two,
Jeremy
two.
Priest just came with meth?
All right, so that's it. So that gets it. That was the tiebreak right there. So meth advances. I see what Kevin's saying. The Florida man quality that we hear about is abject stupidity. Anyone can get high and, I guess, eat somebody's face.
Yeah.
But,
the Vegas money just got fucking rocked.
Oh, this is FDU all over again. All right, so the second Florida game is the man takes kid on a paintball drive-by, and the car ends up getting shot up by real bullets. And then this cat, the number 2 seed, was banging a dog on the lawn of a church in a nativity scene.
The only thing missing from that description is the fact that he had a Tim Tebow fucking Florida Gators jersey on. While he was fucking the dog, that dude is so Florida. He don't know.
Is it just fun to fuck with the Gators fans or what? Is it just endless?
Oh, fuck.
Endless amusement. All right, I'm on 2 for this one. I'm on the number 2 seed. The guy hitting the dog in the nativity scene.
I'm with the ass fucker all the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right there. All right. So that sets up an interesting final next week.
Did you see Bill Barr was talking to, what's her name? I can't think of her name. She's a Jewish lady.
Cloris Leachman.
No, she's a Jewish lady. She's got black curly hair. She's been around forever. It's not Gloria Steinbeck, but help me out.
Oh, did she just have that documentary on Netflix about being in New York?
Her last name starts with an L.
All right, help us out here.
Just find out who fucking Bill Maher's had on his podcast.
Fran Lebowitz?
Is it Fran? Maybe that's who it is. They were talking, and Bill Maher said,
"Pretend it's a city." Is the name of the documentary, by the way?
Okay. Yeah. So Bill Maher says, you know, like fucking, you know, that Florida's, you know, if it's not Trump, it could be DeSantis. And he said, you know, it's kind of like a petri dish of the Republican Party, and. She came by, and, you know, she came back with something. He goes, "No, think about it." He said, "You know, there's the old people. There's a lot of people that are moving in from New York. There's, you know, there's the older demographic." There she is, Fran Lebowitz.
Yep.
And they go back and forth, and finally at the end, he says, "I think it's a perfect melting pot." And she goes, "I think it's part of the Confederacy." her timing. I didn't know justice because I was fumble fucking around with what her name. I can't believe I couldn't remember Fran, but it's not like I listened to the show.
No, she's funny.
Yeah, she really is.
It's a good documentary too, if anyone wants to check that out.
So
let's move to New Jersey, the New Jersey bracket. We need to get our last 2 games. Okay, the toddler fight club set up covertly in the daycare center. Parents learned through a hidden camera what was going on there.
I'm going with the number 1 seed on that. That's as Jersey as it gets.
And the DUI suspect claims his dog was driving, apparently. And this is unanimous.
That motherfucker could be in Florida. Four could be in Florida.
It's not Jersey enough. What about our live audience? Do we get any votes there that might tip this in the other direction? Or are they feeling the Toddler Fight Club is also the... what do we have there? Yeah, Toddler Fight Club wins. David's predicting the whole thing, that well, they're going all the way with that.
First rule about Toddler Fight Club is you can't toddler talk about down. It.
All right, so it seems to be pretty unanimous there. I agree. And then finally, the last game of our second round. Someone who brought 32 bags a week to court. And then the doctor who put some loads on some patients got busted.
It only came on one patient.
All right, let me think here for a minute. I think he apologized. That's my favorite part. He apologized for squirting? Yeah. Well, for taking the time to take his pants down, whack off, and do a premeditated shot on a patient. He apologized. Like it was an accident. Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's pretty depraved. I mean,
That's fucked up. He can't slide. I don't give a fuck. Having 32 bags of weed does not fucking circumvent the fact that this doctor on the bottom needs to continue to have his face on our show and just be loathed by the magnitudes. Yeah, the doctor's the fucking scumbag.
All right, so our final next week, we'll see the doctor dropping one on the patient.
Question was the patient hot? It was fucking Ted Cruz. So you decide for yourself. I personally don't find fucking Wild Bill Earp fucking too attractive.
Wild Bill. All right, there we go. Next week's bracket. This is it. The final four in Florida. The gentleman asked the cops to test his meth. He'll be going up against the Doggy Style and Nativity, and then on the Jersey side, the Toddler Fight Club taking on the Dr. White Load. Very good games next week. Ooh. And that's that. We'll see what happens.
We can't get Jim Nance on to fucking call this fucking final four.
I was hoping for a little Marv Albert. Yes. A pretty depraved fuck in his own right, from what I remember of those news stories.
We lost, speaking of, we lost Willis Reed.
Yes, did you see that?
Yeah.
Only 80, which, well, you know.
80s. I thought it was 82.
Was it 82? I thought it was 80, but still.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
You know what, though? Honestly, I hadn't seen him enough in... You know, you see the veterans a lot of times, like Bill Russell when he died. He was always on television. I don't see Willis Reed.
No.
I wouldn't have been able to tell you if he was alive or dead.
Somebody asked me, like, where do I put Willis Reed? You know, Dave Driscoll, a friend of mine, said, you know, where do you put Willis Reed? And I'm like, phew. I said, I'm like not in my top 20 for centers. You know, I mean, like
not in the top 20.
No, for centers. No, I mean, I would put like from that era, I would put Bill Bellamy. I'd put Bob Lanier. Nate Thurman, Wilt Chamberlain.
Well, Wilt, I get. And Bill Russell. Know, just, but, you know, I didn't. It was a little before
I would probably take Wesley Unseld over him.
I would take our Wesley. But you know what? There was a Bill Russell documentary that you put me onto, a two-episode. Was it HBO, maybe?
Yeah, HBO Max.
Yeah. Which was phenomenal, by the way. I recommend it to everybody. I did not realize, just because I wasn't watching live, anything I saw was always recap stuff. And you don't spend enough time with somebody on just recap type videos and clips. How dominant and ridiculously dominant Bill Russell was on the court. It was unbelievable. Just some of the numbers were ridiculous. And just watching him play, it was...
I think the one that really just... When I watched that, because I knew it had happened, but they never really went... It's where they broke in and defecated on his house and shit.
Oh, the shit he had to deal with playing in a very white city, Boston.
Yeah, playing in fucking Boston. Just a fucking... Just like, you know what? And my whole thing is, yeah, it's a different era, man. It's a different era. Yeah, you know, they didn't have fucking, you know, they didn't have the talent they have now. Yeah, Bill Russell, you can't compare him with Jordan. Yeah, because Jordan was treated with respect and was a god, and they went in fucking Bill Russell's house and they shit in it. Like, how can you even compare the two fucking... let's just look at working conditions. Look at how you're, you know...
Your life off the court, what you were...
And I like the fact that, you know, they... You know, that King wanted Russell with them, you know, when he spoke in Washington, and he stood out in the crowd in the first row because he had joined the movement later and hadn't put the time in that some of the other people had, and he wasn't going to take the accolades of being part of the civil rights movement without doing so.
Right.
And then he became more active after that. But, you know, it's just such a fucking class human being.
He was a big man in every way. Absolutely.
Yeah.
If he was playing today and you had the Game Time app, you'd be able to grab some last minute tickets and get out and see him.
Them Celtics are going to the playoffs.
I'm excited about that. I'm excited about our new sponsor, Game Time. This is a huge one for me, okay? Biggest problem attending events currently, ticketing. I can't stand it. It's the difficulty, the resale market. Game Time makes this so easy, guys. Put this app on your phone. You're going to thank me for this. Game Time's URL, if you're going on the computer, it's gametime.co, gametime.co. If you are using a smart device, just go to your app store and download the Game Time app. These are last-minute ticket opportunities, okay? If you missed out on grabbing tickets to a concert, wrestling, any sporting event, really, Game Time is where you should go because they get the scoop on all the last-minute tickets, okay? The interface is brilliant. You're going to see some images coming up on your screen right here. This is for me. I'm searching Bruce Springsteen, okay? Bruce is coming to town next month. I am a Jersey guy and have never seen Bruce live. It's a bit of a sin, so I'm told that this has to happen. I was considering this.
Before he turns into Woody Allen.
That image was terrifying. This was something I was considering even before I got the app. But then I got the app. I searched for the venue. I have the venue. I tap the map. So now I get, you can see this clearly on your screen. I get the entire arena and the price of every ticket they have. I could just go right around, tap the price I like. And when I do, let's hit this one right here, $347. Bang. It gives me the view from my seat of the stage. Okay. And then at that point, I complete the deal. I pay with my Apple Pay or whatever you have in there, your credit card. Bang. It's done. It's so easy. Images from the seat. Easy to browse. Easy to navigate. I love this freaking app. And you will too. Now, of course, as with every advertiser, Kevin makes some arrangements for you to get some money off. And that's what we got here. You're going to download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code CLICK, K-L-I-Q, and you're getting $20 off your first purchase, okay? Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code K-L-I-Q for 20% off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Okay, you didn't miss the boat, guys. If you didn't get online, get up at 10 in the morning from the other ticketing website. If you didn't do it, Game Time still has them, and they're going to get you there for the cheapest prices available. Thank you, Game Time. Welcome to Click This.
I didn't pay attention to those tickets, but I think those were to Al Stewart, the Year of the Cat concert tour.
Well, I believe...
Oh, yes.
Doesn't he have a Muslim name now? Didn't he... Is he the one that converted? What's his name now?
No, Cat Stevens did.
Oh, Cat Stevens. I'm thinking Al Stewart might be dead now that I'm thinking about it. Yusuf Islam, Cat Stevens, right.
Yeah. Today's the first day of Ramadan.
Yeah, well, happy Ramadan, first of all. And do you have a little Cat Stevens for us today? I very much enjoyed Harry Chapin.
Let me think, man. Take good care. They got a lot of people down there. Ooh, baby, baby, it's a wild world.
I'll take the instrumental. You know, we mentioned HBK before for kind of being a heat magnet. And it made me want to talk about this with you on camera here. We hear from the outside about workers that are disliked. And I don't mean by fans because they're playing heels. I mean, there's something about a person that in a locker room creates friction. Or maybe promoters creates friction for promoters. Difficult people that fall on the wrestler shit list for whatever reason. And HBK is undoubtedly one of them. We'll put the disclaimer back in for your friend today. Very different. I know there's religion involved, and that's great.
But I mean, there's also personal growth. Most of us haven't been in the ring in 20 fucking years, you know? It's like,
I meet a lot of douchebags in this business that haven't been in a ring in 20 years. Present company excluded, obviously.
Well, I'm all ears. Let's just see where we go.
All right, so here's the thing. So you hear a bunch of shit, right? You hear about, we talked a few weeks ago.
But you have to realize your perspective is going to be different than mine because.
That's why I'm talking to you.
I know, you hear, and I lived with them, so.
Right, so you will maybe dispel. Last few weeks, that's kind of what we've been doing. We did the misconceptions of Kevin Nash. We did a nice tribute to Scott.
I lied through that whole fucking thing. I was such a douchebag.
You fooled no one. So we talked about Rock's show, right, when he did the character based on HBK, which I guess stemmed from the real-life heat. Right. That Dwayne had with him over what I heard, and I guess, you know, I'm an outsider, so some shit over Leah Maivia and some things that Sean might have said about her and her promotion. You hear that Sean was perpetually arrogant. You also hear, and I'm wearing the shirt for it this week, that he may have kept some people down. In the promotion, that I know that's generally assigned to the whole clique by some folks, but I call this the Tatanka shirt, by the way. And it's just a name that you always hear was problematic for others in the company. Am I wrong to believe this?
I would say that Sean doesn't have the greatest of track records before he got injured and left. I think when he came back, his second stint, when he came back and did the Hells in the Cells, and I think that was a completely different Shawn Michaels.
So the time, the injury and the time off, you're saying?
I think he didn't think he was going to be able to continue. I think that he thought that that his dream had been basically cut short, his run would be cut short, and on top of all that, you know, a lot of those years that he didn't participate were big money years in the industry for top guys. But the Rock stuff, That was after he came back from the injury. So, but I don't know. Everybody was still very, very territorial. You know, it was. I'm sure they would be to this day. You know,
and I'm doing a project outside of this that you know about, and it deals with the clique pretty significantly in this project, and something that I'm kind of learning from working with this other person is that though there was some self-serving nature to some of the decisions you guys made and some of the things you guys did in the company, most times you were talking about the company in general.
Yeah.
So even if it was moving one of you into a position, it was because you thought, but it was also lobbying for other guys that you thought made for a better product at a time where, you know, the WWF product could have gone either way. So, but would you say that was consistent for Shawn in his, for Shawn Michaels in his decisions and in his
discussions? You have to realize that I can only speak from a fucking 93 to 96 window.
Okay, so let's just talk about that, because that was the...
and that was, I mean, that was when the Click was in its... I mean, we didn't even call ourselves the Click. You know, Davey Boy came up, I think, with that name. Like, we didn't call ourselves the Click. We were just guys hanging out together, and it just...
That was a name that came later, but
yeah. When I walked in the door and got in the car, Duggan was sitting up front, and me and Sean were in the back seat, and we're leaving that first Raw, and he said, "By the way, man, everybody hates us." He's talking about him and Scott. He's like, "Everybody hates us." And I'm like, "Oh, this should be fun," and then like, I got along with most everybody, so when we had to, like, grub pills off people, they'd always go, Kev, you go, they like you.
Because they wouldn't want to share with them.
Yeah, they wouldn't want to, nobody would give them motherfuckers anything.
Rainbow stew?
Yeah.
All right, well, I mean, you became friendly with Sean, but was there ever a time, maybe when you first came in, where you thought it could have gone another way, where he rubbed you the wrong way?
No,
you like, oh, this
because
guy's
he...
Fuck.
He requested me, you know, I was the guy. Like, it wasn't like, hey, there's four guys. It was like, I want Nash. I know he's under contract. They said, no, that's not fun. We're not going to fuck around with him. He said he told Robbie Steiner that he can get out of his contract. And when I found out that I could be with Sean, I knew that they were putting a rocket up his ass. I was like, fuck yeah. So I came in, and he was cool to me. And why wouldn't he be? Because he did need a bodyguard. You know, I mean, it was a shoot on, you know, in the ring and on the road. You know, and then we had Scott with us, and you know, the only time Sean ever got fucked with was up in Syracuse when they split us up. You know, And I told him, I went into Vince the next when I got home from that trip. I said, this isn't a work. It's a shoot. I need to be with him. I need to take care of him. Like, I, you know.
Well, that right there, that someone who needs a bodyguard in real life.
Well, he was also a handsome guy, and he'd walk into a bar and fucking the jack off that fucking just, you know, he's got his girlfriend. She's, oh, my God, that's Shawn Michaels. And Shawn was never that guy. Shawn was never somebody that was out chasing fucking ass. Shawn was fucked up by the time we got in the bar, you know? But he needed, that's what he needed. He needed somebody to fucking watch his back, because we by the time we got into the fucking, you know, whatever the disco was in Utica that night, fuck, you know?
But I mean, behavior that rubbed people. Oh, listen, Tommy Rich was a great looking guy. He was over. He didn't need bodyguards. What was it about Sean?
Different era.
Was it like Rob said, an energy, a bad energy? You didn't see it.
I got pissed off at him, but he was ultra competitive, and we all were. We all wanted more money. It was like, I guess when you got five guys, I mean, it was like the Click was trying to fucking get into the vault of, you know, this bank. So we were doing a bank job. So the five of us, everybody knew what the job was, And we were working on fucking opening the safe. That's what we were worried about. We really didn't give a fuck about anybody around us. The five of us were opening the safe. You know?
I just found the film, everybody. That's it. 6 or 7 months, but I just found the movie. Let the slapstick begin. Okay, another name. Let's move off of Sean now. Sid is another name that we hear is problematic. Unreliable, maybe?
I think mm-hmm. more problematic with the booking committees, where they kind of said, hey, we're going to give you Hogan's boots. He's like, I think you need a big, vicious heel. As far as the guys, everybody likes Sid. He didn't hurt you.
He wasn't careless in the ring?
No. No. I mean, people joked about him because when it came down to it, he'd rather play softball in the summer than fucking wrestle. And God, imagine this. He'd rather play softball than bounce around the country on a fucking ring. God.
Well, who wouldn't? Right, I mean.
Exactly. It's like when it comes down to it. If you could do whatever the fuck you want to do, would you do what you're doing right now? If you could, somebody get whatever you wanted to do, if it was stay home and watch Netflix, it would pay you the same as you make right now on your job. Would you be doing what you're doing? I mean,
I'm a bad person. I like being creative. I have to create or I die. So I would definitely still be doing something with. You'd send me the check, and I would still be making. Okay. Product somehow, but right. Point well taken. All right, so no, you didn't feel any
and I'd still be
heat.
And I'd still be jerking off. So
I'd still well, didn't say I was going to stop that, but
that's what I get paid for.
Did so no Sid heat. Didn't see any.
I don't think Sid ever had heat. He didn't with me.
So maybe this is a promoter thing. Maybe all the stories I think about booking Sid.
He had more, but and I think that he had. Some issues when he got away from the business. Sid was very cool. I've always liked Sid. I've always considered Sid a friend.
I liked Sid as a performer so much that the interview we had set up on Breaking Kayfabe that he didn't make it to because he lost his wallet at the airport. I was going to talk to him about the whole angle of that was I felt he should have been. One of the biggest names in the history of the business. From the look at the time and the intensity on camera, someone could have helped him with the verbiage on the promos.
It wasn't here.
The heart.
He didn't have this. He didn't
want
it.
For those of you listening, he's pointing to his heart. He didn't want it.
He didn't want it. No. He wanted to play fucking softball.
He wanted to play softball. So he was his own worst booker, I think.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you, that it's not, when people say, Nash did it for the money, you know what? When you tear your fucking, your quad, and the doctor comes in and goes, nobody comes back from a quad tear at 42, and you say, the fuck, I'm going to, and they say, it's going to be a year, and you come back in 7 months, that's somebody that's pretty determined to get back in the ring. So for somebody
but you didn't love wrestling. You loved the business, the creativity of the business.
I loved to wrestle.
You did.
I just didn't love to wrestle and fucking. I didn't love to wrestle for the sake of wrestling. If it was a pay-per-view or if it was a good storyline or you were out there working with somebody that could go. But just to go out there to put fucking. The old 8 to 12, go over with your finish. That assembly line bullshit.
Well, but that's what I mean. The creativity of the crafting the perfect storyline and doing
but
shit at the right
you
time.
You can't do it in 8 to 12
minutes.
You can't do it in 8 to 12. Mm-hmm. That's like, man, go tear that fucking car. See that fucking hot piece of ass over there? Go tear that shit up. 8 to 10 minutes. What?
I'd probably bring it home in seconds.
Should I be kissed? I'd be still kissing the bitch.
Bob Holly, you sometimes hear, was stiff.
He was stiff. That wasn't the Bob that I knew when I was in the business. Like I said, again, 93 to 96, that wasn't the Bob Holly I dealt with. Bob was opening match or second match. He worked his ass off, stayed quiet. Him and Sid fucking were training partners. He loved to go to the gym. He fucking dieted. He ate fucking smart. He wasn't a fucking drunk. I had no problem with him.
But some other workers did, and was that the main issue, the stiffness? Anytime I've been around Bob, I've liked Bob very much.
We had that one stiff one when he was going to basically fucking...
Dissect Ken Kennedy?
Make fucking...
Leatherface.
Make Gacy look like fucking the Peace Corps. Mm-hmm. What the fuck? Do we have an intense cat?
A contemporary... Sorry. No, listen. Not a problem. A contemporary name that you hear is... I'm saying contemporary because it's more recent than the names that I've put out. But Sheamus, always heard, was an asshole. And I asked all the guys that I had on who were newer guys that worked with him. And on camera... Everyone fucking baby-faced. More than one person, when we cut, said, by the way, Sheamus, total asshole. So, what have you heard?
Like I said, I haven't heard anything, but nobody's going to... Sheamus and Triple H are tight. They know that Paul and I are tight, so fucking that's going to go right... You're not going to fucking say shit to me. I was pissed off when I came back in Boston when McIntyre and him, fucking, they were pounding on me, and I was fucking, the crowd was yelling Diesel, 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 and they just, I mean, they were just, I mean, it was like a shoot. They were pounding me so fucking hard, and I was just like, it was one of those deals like, fuck, man, I'm not going to get in a fist fight out here if you can't.
But it was that stiff that you were thinking
Jesus
about giving
Christ,
a receipt?
Man. I didn't know how else I was going to be able to fucking make a comeback with them because they weren't going to. I hit one of them with something like a working shot, and they know sold it. I'm just like, nah.
See, now that's dickish, is it not?
Or it's inexperience. If you can't hear the fucking people, then it's not, you know.
Can't hear the people, and then you're no-selling what should be a comeback.
Well, it just tells it. Put it this way: it's not a good thing when a 50-year-old or whatever how old I was then. I know I was in my 50s when I walked down the aisleway with my hair dyed black and put my glove on, and they took pictures. I didn't look any different than I did when I was fucking 34. So, they. Shark Tank says, fuck that. They're going to push this old fucker over us. Fucking kill him. So, I had no intention.
I'm surprised you took that so...
I got in the car, I turned on fucking Twitter. I was trending number one worldwide. I said, bingo.
You're much more controlled.
I think in the moment, in the ring. I think Dallas used to call me Cavalier Kev. Like, fuck it, man.
That sounds like Dallas, actually. All right, another name, Sonny.
Sonny, also true. I'll feed you a little shit. I didn't like her. I actually liked her, like, you know, when she was going through all her trials and tribulations and trying to get her shit together, and we'd run into each other. I would have good conversations with her. She was the original diva, you know. And I think she played it, and it was just like, You ain't drawn a fucking dime, so.
Was she cunty to the boys?
To some.
That she wasn't screwing?
Like I said, though, then again, I think I'm the only guy in the business that didn't hit it, so, you know. And Brad, who got fucking accused of it.
What a shame. Fuck. By Sean on camera. Sunny days, the sunny days comment.
Imagine that. Wasn't very nice. Me working for you. Whoa, signs, everywhere, signs.
So that may play into some of the HBK dickiness.
I saw a thing that I was going through the other day, and Brett was, it was like one wall of the cage was up, and Brett was in the ring, and he was saying, "I don't give a shit. It was just bullshit." It was after they fucked him, and Vince was out there. It looked like he had like a coaching poncho, like rain gear on or some shit. And it was in black and white. Excuse me. And I don't know what it was from, but I mean, it was Brett going on a tirade. Yeah.
Is this the shot?
Yeah, that's it.
I don't remember. Was that a house show? Okay, so Sonny, I guess, kind of confirmed there. Warrior sometimes makes the shit list.
I just think he was just insane.
He was insane, but when you give your body to someone who's insane...
He didn't really do anything, though. All he did was clothesline and splash. It wasn't like he fucking had an arsenal of suplexes and he wasn't.
Well, he would do the press slam.
Yeah, he wasn't. Right. Yeah, he ain't got a drop yet. He's dry. He's press slamming you over his. He's not dropping you on your head. You're landing. Like you're doing a belly bump. No, he. You talk about somebody that had fucking. I had five moves. What that motherfucker have?
Three.
Take out. With Cornelius, say take out the hair flip. I had four. Right. Take out shaking the ropes.
Shake the ropes.
He had two. But you got that classic fucking when he. I don't know if he was running a Warriors wrestling camp.
Uh huh.
And there's that fucking thing. And the guy says, you know, he's tired. He's like, fuck. Fuck! Are you fucking? What you fucking? I've been on this planet, dwarf, you motherfucker! And these kids are just like he's going. He just goes berserk, and I'm just like, see, like that. I could have got if Jim would have been that guy around me, I would have fucking be like, yeah, cool.
What about his booking difficulties, refusals to job. Did you hear any of that?
I think it's the fact that he wasn't allergic to the bearskin rug.
All right. So since you brought it up, it's his famous line from Scott. What's the origin? What's the genesis of Vince and Warrior on the bearskin rug?
There is none. It's one of those fucking.
Well, who first threw it out there? Was it Scott first?
No, it was a story that we heard that was doctored. It was the start at the front of the class. Your mom has a fire hose in her hand, and it gets to the back of the third grade class, and you know, your mom's fucking everybody at the firehouse.
Right.
So, it was.
I prefer to leave the story intact. It's a very loving image I have in my head. Okay, JBL, locker room bully, feared by everybody. Workers like Edge was one of them. I know that claimed a lot of hazing at his hand.
I feel like I'm on that show, fucking Rivals, right now, and they're going around and they're talking about Batista and Edge's angle. That I wasn't there for the entire fucking time. And they're trying, like, JBL was he just started. All I remember when JBL, we were on a European trip, and he used to bring a bull rope to the ring with a bell on it. And I stole it before his match, and then all through his match, I would take my hand and stick it through the curtain of the ring entrance and ring his bell, like ring the bell on the rope like a dick. And then when he came back, he was just laying there. Like nobody was going to say anything. It was just like, it was a rip. But I mean, that's JBL.
But you talk to workers and you never.
Yeah, but that's not, it's like, so you, I haven't seen Edge in fucking, me and Edge sat down at dinner in New Orleans, one of those two shows. I hadn't seen him in forever. And there was a couple of, I think Ray was there. There was a couple of us where it was like in a little restaurant that was in the hotel. It was later at night. And I think guys were going in there to get drinks. And we ended up, I think Edge and I ended up eating. And but when you catch up, it's just not like, hey, can I ask you a question? JBL, you ever rough you up in the ring? It's like it just doesn't come up.
Okay. Doesn't come up. Here's a name that I know you're not going to babyface. Bill Watts.
Dick.
Everything we hear is true. Bully.
I should have beat the fuck out of him. And Cornette will hear this again.
I'd like to see you try.
Everybody thought that guy was so fucking tough. I'll guarantee that fucker had a glass jaw.
Well, he was tough when he asked somebody to get on all fours, and they did, and then he kicked
him. Mule, yeah, I mean, mule kicking in the fucking chin. You know. I don't know. Maybe I didn't know him well enough. I don't know.
But your interactions with him were when he came in as a booker for Vince, no?
He was in charge of WCW. And he took everybody that was on contract and put us on nightlies.
Didn't you then, though, work with him again in WWE and had an altercation at Madison Square Garden?
He had the privilege to work underneath my reign. He had no fucking say-so in anything that I did.
Didn't you go home in about 4 minutes with Yoko when he was
After it took him 45 minutes to put... It was like 2 minutes. After it took him 45 minutes to put the ring up.
The cage.
The cage, I mean. Yeah. Fuck this. You're sitting there and you watch everybody packing up their shit and going home. And these fucking guys can't put the cage together. And Yoko and I, because Yoko and I have been on the road for 23 fucking days, and you guys just are going home tomorrow after fucking your 3-day stint. Let us sit around here for 45 fucking minutes. Fuck us. No, fuck you.
Was that, though, a receipt for when you worked with him in WCW? Or?
No, he had nothing to do with it. He just stayed and watched it so he could be a cunt, so he could fucking... You guys didn't put in much time, and I knew that's what he was going to do, so no matter what we did was going to be fucking not enough, so why do anything? Right? If he's already going to just stay there because this is the first time I can't go, Vince, shut him the fuck up, because Vince is gone. So now he's going to fucking run his dick sucker. It's like, no, you're not going to run your dick sucker. You're going to, like, what the fuck was that? Fucking, didn't you hear the people? Felt right to me. Walked right by him. Go fucking eat my ass. You want to talk to me? Fucking, I'll be in the shower. I'll bend over. You go, I'll wash it up good. You can fucking get in there like fucking Sandusky and fucking have a little horseplay with my fucking anus.
Well, I don't know if Bill Watts slept well after that, but something that could have helped him would have been Sleep Me, the new home for the Chili Sleep Pro.
products. They're bringing you the same great sleep that Chili Sleep did, but under a new name. I have one. I sleep on one. I have the Uller Sleep System. And the reason I have it is because everyone now knows that science has proven that sleep is dependent on temperature. The quality of your sleep is. And temperature-controlled sleep repairs muscle. It improves cognitive function. Always start your day feeling sharp. That's where Sleep Me comes in, okay? It makes the coldest sleep systems available. They create the environment that meets the body's natural need for lower core temperature. You can go down with it, go up. There's an app. You put it right on the phone. You control it all night long right there. If your phone's at your bedside while you sleep, you can adjust the temperature. And because it is a water-based system that's constantly flowing through the device, you achieve that temperature rather quickly. This comes from experience. I am telling you what I do. So I want you to experience the ultimate cooling power with, listen, they just launched the Doc Pro sleep system with the new Hyperall. Okay. So, pair it with the new app, get real-time temperature adjustments. And, this is the industry's first sleep tech that tracks and optimizes your sleep. And you get the temperature in real time. Okay, so here's what we've done. Head over to sleep.me/Kevin to learn more and save 25% off the purchase of any new Doc Pro, Uller, or Cube sleep system. This offer is available exclusively for Click This, the Kevin Nash Podcast listeners, and only for a limited time. That's sleep.me/Kevin to take advantage of our exclusive discounts. Wake up fresh, refreshed, ready to rock. Every day. That's an ingenious creation. I do love it. What else? Another thing I love, Kevin, is when your public has access to you. And hashtag Ask Nash is how you can do that out there.
God, I love it. No, I love it so. George C. Scott Patton.
A little Patton? Sometimes we get musicals. Sometimes we get dramatic reads. Never know what's coming. I love it. Fernum Schnavitz says, besides Scott, is there another friend or wrestler that's passed that you still miss? Obviously not including your son. Love you.
Tess?
Andrew?
Yeah, Andrew. Rude?
John Tenta, obviously.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about people that travel. I spent time traveling with. I know I'm forgetting.
Those two are fine.
Yeah.
A fine selection.
I'm sorry, but yeah, my Rolodex on death doesn't go too far. I don't get too far out of Scott and my son right now.
Anyone from the audience have something we can bring up? Our live studio audience, David. Kevin, at WrestleMania 18 with Rock and Hulk, was it always the plan for you and Scott to attack Hulk after the match, or was that on the fly due to the crowd reaction? Take us back to that night and Raw after.
No, it was, we were supposed to, the original was, Hogan was not supposed to get that response, though he got it the entire fucking, from Rosemont moving forward. But we were supposed to go over on Stone Cold, the two of us, which changes the whole coming down. And then we were supposed to leave Rock and leave Rock in a pile, and the NWO was supposed to come out of it strong, and they just, which would have been heat out of WrestleMania, and they changed that the night before. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Correct. Mr. Whisper, Eric Bischoff recently spoke on his live Q&A about an altercation in Casper, Wyoming, where you and Hall almost went to blows with Hulk Hogan in the back before a show. Eric said he had to go get in between you all. What was this over? Creative control? Do you recall Casper, Wyoming?
No. I mean, that was during all that fucking bike shit.
It was Road Wild.
Yeah. Scott and I were in a bad mood because fucking we were so tired of driving around on those fucking motorcycles in a goddamn brown Taurus.
Smelling fuel.
Just a fucking
ignition,
like,
the whole time.
Just, you know, you're supposed to be at the top of your fucking career, and you know, because Ted Turner likes yachting, we're gonna have a match on fucking on a yacht. It's like, goddamn, man. You know what? The guy, like Eric, and those guys had a ball there, and I would never want to deprive that, especially when you run into fucking company and you made me rich. But in retrospect, I just didn't fucking, I don't care for bike week here. I just know that if somebody fucks up and they're drunk and they cross over, and even though I fucking got the reflexes of fucking Bobby Allison in his prime, I'm going to fucking hit you. And I'm going to probably fucking kill you. And it's just fucked up. You know?
Like, but Hogan, the altercation with Hogan, you don't recall what it was about?
Oh, I'm sure we were fucking. I'm sure we were, like, fucking with him. I know he had a fucking. I remember one time somebody told me he made a blade, like he was going to cut our faces if we came at him.
It got that heated?
I think it was more. Hey, you want to talk about a couple of dicks? Get fucking Hall and Nash fucking to 2-on-1 you. We'll put JBL, Sheamus. You put all those motherfuckers in a blender. Sean.
Your name wasn't in every fucking research article that I pulled for that segment.
Yeah,
but
fuck. I mean. Well,
we covered last week, though.
Yeah, I'm no walk in the fucking park, and Scott definitely wasn't. So it was just like, you know what? The reason we got along with Sean because we were all fucking pricks.
But that Hogan like doesn't work for me. An hour before the show, did it just fucking drive you crazy?
Yeah. At the time, in retrospect, man, He must have fucking, that'd be like having one chip left and you get dealt a fucking, you're playing five card stud and you get dealt and you just fucking, everybody's looking at you like, he's fucking done. He just turns over that big fucking ace of spades. I'll take four. Like, fuck you, man. Like, you still got that ace, man. Boom. Doesn't work for me, brother. Especially when you're writing that shit and you got to time it and put commercials and, boy, fucking quarter to fucking eight to retime an entire show. Good luck.
Right. Brandon Good. Kev, I've listened to almost every episode, and I don't think this has been asked. I know that when the Click This podcast started, T was and still is a big part of the show. I've always wanted to know if Scott planned to be part of the show. Like you, Scott, and Sean together. It was...
No,
Scott, because he was sick when we talked about this.
But Scott did... Scott used to do a thing on called Last Call with Scott Hall. He used to do like a little thing he put on Instagram. He had no, this was...
I would have, though, if he weren't
Scott,
sick.
Scott passed in March. Our first show was about Scott, which was in July.
In July. But when we were serious about signing, and we did, that was like February when we started talking, February or March, and he was already sick. But I would have, certainly the thing is called Click This, I would have had all your friends on.
Yeah.
Anything from the audience? What do we got here? People patiently staying up with us to the wee hours of the goddamn morning. Travis Medway, hey guys, question for Kev. I remember him advocating a 100 rep workout. Does he still do this? Just remind me on the details. Is it with rests?
It was a workout done by Steve Mihalik. And of course you have to go very, very light. It works great if you end up in like a hotel gym and, you know, something like that where you could do say flat bench dumbbell presses with your hands in like this and do 30s for 100 reps. You know, it's one of those things, and you're going to have to rest because 100 reps of anything is going to be it's going to tax you cardiovascular wise. But it's a good. Also, though, it's one of those things where when you're injured and you're coming back and you're so geared to that 8 to 12 reps. And it's just like you're thinking, like, oh, I'll do this for 8 reps. Like, no, man, you don't need to do that for 8 reps. That's what you do. Like, you need just to get the nerves. Because when they cut through your shit, they cut through your nerves, they cut through your muscles. Everything has to rejuvenate. Everything has to regenerate. And the best thing you can do is to let the pathways, you know, let all that shit start firing. And by doing 100 reps, you're basically reteaching that fiber, you know, what to do in that movement.
Okay. Well, there you go. Anything else in the house here? What else do we have? Travis, I hope that helps your next workout. Liam Evans. Kev, I see you're in Manchester next month. What are your plans for that weekend other than the con?
I know that Dallas and I are going to catch you dinner because we haven't had dinner in a while, so we'll catch you dinner. I get in Friday early. I think I get into Manchester around 10:30, 11. And I think we just signed Saturday and then fly home Sunday. So I'll probably be at the hotel bar at some point Friday evening having a cocktail.
All right, Liam, so if you see him, buy him a cocktail. This is the For the Love of Wrestling. Which they are not going with any capital letters in that title for some reason. It troubles me ever so slightly. But this will be April 29th and 30th in Manchester.
Is it 2 days?
I don't know if you're 2 days, but there's 2 days listed here, Saturday and Sunday.
Maybe I have 2 days.
And all the big names there. So,
hold on a second.
Close to your 42 pounds to get your photo taken with Kev. Barbarian will be there as well.
How's my prices? Let me see somebody else. Who's a Hall of Famer in there?
Let's see. Zoom in here. We got some negotiations going to happen right now. You get I guess that's a group photo. Big Show, Nash.
So Goldberg is 78. How much am I?
42.
Good for Bill.
Good for Bill. All right.
Good for Bill. That motherfucker will be easy to no-show.
Jim Davis, can you explain why Lex Luger is not in the WWE Hall of Fame and some lesser-known wrestlers are? This goes back to our Hall of Fame discussion.
I don't know a rhyme or reason to any of that. I just...
We'll investigate.
Yeah.
Kevin knows people that know these answers. Price check on Jackass is this next question. Big Kev, what's your opinion on Yao Ming's career? And where do you think he would have wound up ranking amongst the greatest big men had injuries not ended his career so soon?
He was tough, Matt. He played Shaq real well. He was like that kid from Purdue, but like very athletic, strong.
Could he have been one of the more noteworthy centers if he wasn't sidelined?
I think I am there Saturday and Sunday. I just checked. I fly out on Monday. He had good touch. He just had, you know, it's like that, like how good would Odom have been out of Ohio State, you know, that first round choice that I just saw him on an ad during the Final Four. I'm like, wow, man, there's a, it's not like he was a LaRue Martin where, you know, like the guy that went and, you know, early. It was LaRue Martin went like the first pick, and it was he was a disaster,
a bust. Yeah,
yeah.
What do we have in the Haas? Let's round us out with a couple of questions from the Haas. Brian Haramza, you mentioned on the show last week that you're not a fan of the big guy from Gonzaga. Why not? Why no love for Drew Timmy or Gonzaga?
That's just the kind of guy just that he's a great player. I just know that I'd have to cover him, and it'd be a fucking that's one of those nightmares. A white boy that can play, it's like, oh, God.
So it's actually like a compliment then.
Yeah, it's a compliment. It's like, yeah. I remember I played against Tom Chambers at Utah.
Tom Chambers, that motherfucker played for Phoenix, right?
Yeah, that fucker had hops. He was, God, he was a good ball player.
You don't hear from him. What is he doing? Yeah. Josh, is he a 7-foot punk?
I think so.
Referring to Mr. Timmy.
No, he's not that tall. I don't think Timmy's much more than 6'9".
Right. 6'9" was like a forward in the NBA.
Yeah, a fucking shooting guard.
Yeah. All right, let's round out here with, let's bring up somebody else here to Bobby. Kev, did Eric tell you what to wear to the June 10th, 1996 Nitro when you debuted? Did you arrive to the venue in a limo?
I know I wore what the fuck I wore because that's a Barbat baseball cap I had on. Fucking Missy Hyatt was bartending there, and she gave me that hat. I saw her when I was
the Barbat in Manhattan?
Yeah.
Oh, I was there a few times. Yeah,
yeah, I was LaBarbat. Yeah, that's what that hat is I have on.
I never knew that. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't imagine they would have put us in a limousine because it would have brought eyes to us to where because I was supposed to be there, right. And it was like someplace. I think it was in Wheeling, West Virginia, or some.
All right. Well, what more can be said other than Click This is a production of Butch and Sundance Media, produced in association with Podcast.
So do we want to real quick just touch our brackets to know what cuz it'll be over by the time we fucking come next. So
well, it's kind of all here on that pre-show which was the show, didn't
it? Oh, that is true.
We brought them all up on screen.
Absolutely right.
So Wesley is sprinting to the finish line, an upset in the making.
He's not there yet, baby.
That's what I'm predicting.
Still he's missing one of the final four.
Oh my God. I was out faster than a drunken prom date. So if anyone's keeping score, there we are. Now I have no goddamn chance in this fucking thing, do I? So this is gonna be, you know what though, Steve? As pathetic as your points are, you have a max possibility if you max out at 140. So the future for you there is me and Dom are just we're sweeping the fucking arena. You guys are actually
the other three of us are going to use you guys for just organs. just organ donation at this point.
You're going to eat us on the island.
Yeah, butterflies or whatever.
I'd make a decent meal. Oh, well, folks.
Yellow jackets. I've got this. Isn't that what it's called?
The series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw it streaming. I watched the first year. I'm like, oh fuck! But I'm watching that What If right now, which everybody hates Zellweger. So I'll be the only one watching that.
Producer Steve Kaufman, graphics by Dominic D'Angelo, title sequence and audio edit by Wesley Burleson, theme song by Dale Oliver. A lot of people putting the song over lately.
Yeah.
Technical research was by Tristan Nash. Copyright 2023 Butch and Sundance Media. Kev. Will you do another one as the Click This March Madness champion next week?
I mean, I was kind of I don't think I had a proper a grasp on where it was going the first week, but this week I think we got the psychology of what we're looking for as the Florida guy needs to be the most Florida and the jersey needs to be the most jersey, not necessarily. It says, your Mac will sleep soon unless... What the fuck, man?
This is touching on the technical difficulties that kept our live audience in their seats for a half hour. You're probably just unplugged.
Oh, man. Jesus.
That would explain... Maybe it wasn't a power outage. That would explain what happened there.
No, it's... The fuck? I moved my desk out.
This is really what people should watch. The Fred Flintstone in Silicon Valley aspect of the show every week.
Yeah, because I'm usually too busy at this point of the night counting my fucking Bitcoin.
Listen, the windscreen is valuable. I always debate whether I should put it on here and so I not worry about my plosives. Steve Kaufman, ladies and gentlemen, about to make an announcement about his future with the company. No big announcement coming?
That announcement is for other people to make.
Let me just tell
you. How can people be so
just tell everybody how much Steve... Everybody on this show is great. Dom, who does our social media. I know I read everybody's credits and Wesley, very talented artist, and he does the audio editing. But whenever we need graphics in a pinch, he's like Superman. And Steve is like a workhorse. I mean, you could put anything on this guy's back. He not only does what you guys see here, the live management of this show and maybe some others on the network, but he does this, then he takes what we've done, he refines it. He works the video stuff. He works with Wesley on the audio, provides him in the audio. And then it's strategy to managing what you guys see on YouTube and maximizing the visibility. It's a thankless job, but it's one that makes these shows go. These shows go because of guys like Steve, our entire crew. But Steve's staring at you right now, so... I just want to thank you, Steve. It is quite a task.
We got a good crew.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Crew,
and now we can sign off.
It's like anything else. Don't know what you got till it's gone. Oh. I'm thinking about writing a song like that.